The Apostle John gave us one of the clearest images of what Christmas is all about, and that is the light. But this is no ordinary light. This is the light. And this light came into the world and pierced the darkness. 1 John chapter 1, 4, 5, 9, and 13 tells us, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of men, but of God." Let us pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for reminding us that at Christmas, Jesus is the true light who came into the world to dispel all darkness. May this light shine in our hearts this morning as we open your word and hear the gospel. Illuminate our minds, regenerate souls, refresh hearts, and renew our joy in Christ. May your light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of your glory that is seen in the face of your Son, Jesus. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Makakaupo na po kayo. Christmas is a time of giving and receiving gifts. It's one of the joys of this festive season. It's an exciting time para sa mga bata. Truth be told, ultimo mo tayo mga may edad na. If we receive a gift, we get excited. We feel loved pag nakakatanggap tayo. We feel someone cares. We feel needed. We feel appreciated by someone. We feel a sense of importance. Kasi kung sino man nagbigay sa atin, this come to our mind that probably, just probably, we have made an impact sa buhay ng tao na ito. Kaya nagbigay ng regalo. At minsan, these gifts communicate something from the giver to the receiver. It communicates something. Author Melissa Kruger identifies these types of gifts. Sabi ni Melissa Kruger, "A gift that fulfills a need of some sort says, 'I notice and care about you.' A gift that is complete surprise says, 'I know you need, even you didn't know what you need, that you needed it.' A gift that makes a person feel special says, 'I know you, and I know just what you love.' A gift comes with great personal cost or sacrifice of some sort, says, 'I love you more than I love myself.'" Sa mga nakatanggap ng regalo, we probably can identify sa isa sa mga to. With ikaw ba? What is the one gift you desire to have for Christmas that you believe can change your life or your family's life for the better? What is that one Christmas gift? Ito ba'y maaprubahan sa isang ina-applyan na trabaho sa Dubai? Or maybe ina-applyan sa ibang bansa? Is this an increment or a promotion? Makapagpatayo ng bahay sa Pilipinas. Makapagbayad lahat ng mga utang. To be with family members ngayong season na ito? Or to be with a significant loved one? Or maybe, sana magkaroon ng significant loved one. Maybe it's relief from chronic pain. Ease from a discouraged soul. I can see how these gifts can bring joy, convenience, security, ease in life. Ang problema lang sa mga ito, hindi tumatagal eh. It doesn't ultimately satisfy and can even be enslaving. However, there is one gift that we all desperately need that would eternally transform our lives, and that is the gift of God's saving grace. Buksan po natin ating Bible sa Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 9. Sinulat ni Paul ang letter na ito to a young, thriving church in Ephesus to provide them encouragement and instructions. Sa chapter 1, he tells them the value of their salvation in Christ at ang mga blessings na natanggap nila dito. Sa chapter 2 naman, he highlights na ang theme ng salvation ay solely by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. This is God's gift to His people, at ito po ang titignan natin ngayong umaga na ito. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The main point or main idea of our sermon this morning is this. Salvation is a gift from God and cannot be earned through our good works, so that God alone gets the glory. Salvation is a gift from God and cannot be earned through our good works, so that God alone gets the glory. Ang prayer ko po sa atin ngayong umaga, as we meditate together yung biblical salvation, nawa ang focus natin ay mailayo natin sa ating mga sarili at matuon natin lamang sa ating Panginoon. That salvation is solely God's work. That is God-centered. That it is glorious. That it is revealed through Jesus Christ. May this renew our joy, ngayon umaga, rekindle our awe, and strengthen our living for Him. Let's look at our passage. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Ang salvation, o sa Tagalog po ay kaligtasan, is a gift from God. It is God's grace sa atin. Pero bago po natin pag-usapan, ang salvation ay isang gift o grace ng ating Panginoon, let's first ask the question, saan ba tayo kailangan maligtas? Nanganganib ba tayo? Ano ba ang kalagayan na tao na kailangan iligtas ng Diyos? Para malaman natin ang kasagutan na yan, kailangan natin to look back a few verses in the beginning of chapter 2, verses 1 at saka 3, para madiskubre natin ang ating hinahanap na sagot. Ephesians 2, 1 to 3. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Nung bata pa kami magkakapatid, kami ay pinaniwala ng aming mga magulang na kapag kami ay nagpakabait, ngayong Pasko, makakatanggap kami ng regalo galing kay Hata yung isang narinig ko. Santa Claus! Kaya ang ginawa naming magkakapatid, ang diskarte namin, kapag malapit na ang Kapaskuhan, nagpapa-good shot na kami. O kaya naman, nagpapakabait na kami. We're trying to be prim and proper before that great, glorious Christmas Day para makatanggap kami ng regalo. Kaso napapansin ko is, habang papalapit yung Kapaskuhan, is lalo ako nagiging pasaway at hindi ko mapigilan. At ang kinagulat ko, nakatanggap pa rin ako ng regalo. So tinanong ko yung tatay ko, akala ko ba kapag hindi masyado good boy, hindi nakakatanggap ng regalo. Here's what my dad said. Well, hindi ka naman ganun ka-bad boy. Hindi ka naman ganun ka-bad boy. May nakikita naman si Santa Claus na konting kabutihan sa'yo kaya kanya niregaluhan. So in short, hindi ka naman ganun kasama. Alam po ninyo, ito po ang popular na diagnosis patungkol sa kondisyon ng tao. Na hindi naman tayo ganung kasama. Na okay naman tayo eh. Ganun talaga ang tao, sorry tao lang. Lahat nagkakamali, hindi ba? Walang perpekto. At least hindi naman tayo tulad ng mga kriminal na yan na nakakulong. At ang kondisyon ng tao ay dulot lamang ng mga bad influences daw. Kaya lang naman nagkaganyan na dahil sa mga masasamang impluensya. O kaya naman lumaki sa isang dysfunctional na family. So ano ang remedy? Maitutuwid naman ito sa tamang edukasyon, counseling, makisama sa mga tao na positive thinkers upang maging positive din ang pananaw sa buhay. A few weeks back, may nabasa akong meme sa social media na ang sabi is this, get rid of toxic people in your life. Ang paniniwala is magiging positive ang kanilang pananaw sa buhay. Ito ang mga popular na diagnosis at rekomendasyon sa kondisyon po ng tao. There is nothing inherently wrong naman dito in and of itself. Ang problema lang is tinitreat lang nito ang symptoms at hindi yung root cause ng problema. Mayroon mas malalim na problema ang tao. And if we are to look it through the lenses of Scripture, okay, ang sinasabi ng Bible ay hindi tayo okay. Yan ang sinasabi ng Bible, hindi ka okay. Okay? Hindi. Malubha ang ating kondisyon. Sabi sa verse 1 ng Ephesians chapter 2, we are dead. Spiritually dead sa harapan ng Diyos because of our sins. Teka muna, Pas. May mga kakilala ako ng mga tao na hindi namang Kristiyano pero nakakagawa naman ng mga mabubuti at nakakatulong naman sa komunidad. So ang sinasabi mo ba, Pastor, ay sila'y spiritually dead? Well, wala po nang galing sa akin yung sinabi ko a while ago. Yun yung galing kay Paul from the inspired Word of God. Mga kaibigan, alam ko na mahirap pakinggan ito dahil hindi ito popular at katanggap-tanggap na mensahe. Sadly, bihira din ito madinig sa mga Christmas messages or devotionals. Hindi nyo makikita ito sa mga Christmas greeting cards or Christmas greeting cards sa social media. Hindi nyo din mababasa ito sa headlines ng Gulf News or College Times. You are spiritually dead. You're not okay. Wala kang makakakitang ganun. Ano ba yan, Pas? Paskong Pasko, medyo negative ang vibes mo. Hindi ko ata gusto madinig yan. Kala ko ba, Paskong pag-uusapan natin, masaya. Friends, listen. For us to see the good news as good, for us to understand the significance why Christmas, Christians should celebrate Christmas, is first, we must know and accept the bad news. Know and accept the bad news. At ang Bible lang ang accurately magdadiagnose ng tunay na kondisyon ng tao. Ang tunay na kondisyon ng tao, ang kondisyon ng ating kaluluwa ngayong umaga na to, is that either we are all, or we were all dead spiritually. It is interesting how Paul tells verse 2, na sinabi niya na you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Now, this is an interesting type of death. Kasi itong death na ito is marked by activity. Kumikilos, gumagalaw. Parang walking dead. Or much accurately, parang mga spiritual zombies. Ano bang ibig sabihin ng spiritually dead? It means we have no desire or responsiveness toward God. No passion for His glory, no ability to please God, no interest with God's people. Lahat tayo ay moral failure sa harapan ng isang banal na Diyos. Eh pastor, marami akong nagagawang kabutin, but if you are not in Christ, all our righteous deeds, lahat ng ginagawa nating kabutian sa harapan ng isang banal na Diyos are filthy rags according to Isaiah 64:6. We are dead to our sins. Bagamat hindi naman nangangahulugan, wala tayong kakayahan ng gumawa ng kabutihan. We can still do good things because this is God's common grace to all of us since we are created in the image of God. Kaya we are not as bad as we could be. Pero ang image na ito ay marred or disfigured dahil sa kasalanan. At dahil sa may kakayahan tayo gumawa ng kabutihan, ito po yung concern natin. Dahil sa kaya natin gumawa ng kabutihan, we tend to think na hindi tayo ganun kasama. We are not sinful. We are not rebellious. We're not moral failures. We're not spiritually dead. But the truth is, lahat ay spiritually and morally dead sa harapan ng Diyos. This shows that our hearts mislead us. We are self-deceived and blinded. The prophet Jeremiah from the Old Testament notes this to be true for all men for all time. Sabi sa Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? That's why you need to be careful sa mga payo, sa mga kaibigan, yung trust your heart. The Apostle Paul loved the Ephesians so much that he evaluated them truthfully from the Bible. Kaya sinabi niya ang kanilang tunay na kondisyon. They were all spiritually dead. Friends, know that I am saying this from a place of love. Na ito po ang kondisyon ng kaluluwa ng bawat isang tao na nasa kwarto na ito. Either you were or are spiritually dead. Kaya gamitin ni Paul ang analogy na dead, yun ang ginamit niya, to remind them na wala silang kayang gawin in order to save themselves. And to intensify the hopelessness ng tao, so verses 2 to 3, he mentioned three forces, powerful forces, that are at work sa buhay ng isang spiritually dead. And what are those? Let me mention them quickly. Number one, makikita po ito sa verses 2 hanggang 3. Ang unang force that works sa mga buhay ng mga spiritually dead or non-Christians is number one, the world. Verse 2, following the course of this world. World o kamunduhan o sistema ng mundo. Ang mga spiritually dead are under its power, parang mga mindless zombies na sunod-sunuran sa kapamamaraanan ng mga kamunduhan. Ang mga spiritual zombies crave the approval of others and will do anything and everything just to get it. Ang mga spiritual zombies desperate for popularity and will even post foolish and shameful things online just to get more followers and likes. Spiritual zombies are fascinated with fashion and are marked by materialism. Spiritual zombies ay sakim sa pera at tagumpay. Gratifying selfish ambitions. Indulging in pornography. Spiritual zombies are marked with happiness, but are devoid with holiness. All of us were under its power, mindlessly following its ways. Surely, someone powerful is behind sa mga kamunduhang ito. At meron, which is yung second force na gusto ko i-share sa inyo. The devil. Verse 2. The prince of the power of the air. Satan. Once called Lucifer, son of the morning star, was one of the most beautiful and brightest angels in God's kingdom until he rebelled because he wants to be like God. God thrown him down from heaven and is now called in 2 Corinthians the God of this age. From Lucifer, a beautiful name, he is now called Satan, which means opponent, kaaway, nino ng Diyos. Ang unholy collaboration ng kamunduhan at ni Satanas ay actively at work sa mga buhay ng mga hindi Kristiyano. To kill them, to steal from them, and to destroy them. Ngunit imbis na layuan, ang ginagawa natin ay kabaliktaran. Parang nai-enjoy pa natin ang kamunduhan. Nai-enjoy natin ang mga udyok, ang mga tukso ng kaaway. We are irresistibly drawn by it, by the flesh, which is yung third force, the flesh. Verse 3, among whom we all once live in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. Ang tawag dito ay tawag ng laman. Pansin niyo ba yung sinful flesh includes the body and mind? In short, our desires, our cravings, our thoughts, what our body wants. The world, Satan, and the flesh, ito po ay yung unholy trinity, are all actively at work sa buhay ng mga spiritually dead, actively involved to those na masasabi nating hindi mananampalataya. Blinding their minds from the truth, enslaving them in sin, and in the process, killing and destroying them. Mga kaibigan, ito po yung dahilan kung bakit nahihirapan tayo magbago. Because our flesh wants to sin. It's because we are tempted, enslaved by the forces of evil because of the world saying that is, it's okay. Ano ang resulta nito, Pastor? Ito po ang resulta sa kalagayan ng tao. Verse 3. And were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. We become now the object of God's wrath. Now, probably narinig nyo na yung salitang object of one's affections. Gusto natin yon. Object of my love. Pero object of one's wrath, hindi natin gusto yon. God's wrath o ang galit ng Diyos ay hindi tulad ng tao. His wrath ay hindi resulta ng mainitin lang ang ulo niya o meron siyang temper issues. His wrath is not malicious. God's wrath is a result of His infinite holiness and goodness. Consistent ito sa kanyang character. It is His right and righteous action against sin. Lahat ng kasalanan na gawa laban sa Diyos, as a matter of fact, lahat ng kasalanan na ginagawa natin ay laban sa Diyos, ay personal sa Diyos. His wrath is an opposition to evil. God's wrath, friends, is to be feared. At dahil ang offense ay laban sa isang eternal na Diyos, ang kaparusahan ay eternal din. Friends, hell is real. Ilang beses itong binanggit ni Jesus sa Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. He talks about it more than heaven, interestingly. In fact, he talked about hell more than any other person sa Bible. He even talks about it in great details. Sabi niya, a place of eternal torment, Luke 16:23. Unquenchable fire, Mark 9:43. Worm does not die, Mark 9:48. People will gnash their teeth in anguish and regret, Matthew 13:42. There is no return to the living to warn loved ones, Luke 16:19-31. A place of outer darkness, Matthew 25:30. Listen. Hell is not a destination for the really, really bad person. It is the default destination of all sinners. Mga kaibigan, kung anuman ang exact nature ng judgment na ito, we are not sure, but we know it exists. Hell is terrifying. It is terrifying for only one reason. Not the worms, not the fires, not those imageries or literal things that describe hell. It is terrifying because God is there. Hell is not the absence of God, but the very wrathful presence of God, the righteous judge. Ang Diyos ay nasa impyerno. Hindi si Satanas po namamarusa ng mga tao. El Diyos, hell is also his prison and punishment dungeon, ni Satan. Friends, we are really, really in a bad situation. Hell is terrifying because God's judgment is unbearable, inescapable, unbailable, o walang piyansa, and eternal. Friends, mababalikan mo ba ang sinabi mong, okay lang naman tayo? Friends, no. We are really in a bad situation for three reasons. One, we are dead to sins. Wala tayong kakayanan to please and appease God. Second, we are bombarded and enslaved by three powerful forces. And third, we will be eternally judged by God if we're not saved. It seems like our situation is hopeless, pasa. Talaga bang wala tayong pag-asa? Friends, walang pera, walang relihiyon, walang koneksyon, walang pare, walang pastor, walang imam, walang mabubuting gawa, at walang pagmamakaawa ang pwedeng magligtas sa atin. Saan matatagpuan ang ating pag-asa, Pastor? No wonder Jesus and Paul talked about this a lot of times. Mga kapatid sa Panginoon, I'm talking to the Christians right now. Do you meditate on God's wrath? Do you think about God's wrath? I encourage you, basahin yung Revelation 14, Revelation 18, meditating on the wrath of God will deepen our amazement, our joy, sa cross ni Christ. It will also cultivate a healthy sorrow, concern, sa kondisyon ng mga hindi mananampalataya, an urgency to proclaim the gospel. Mga kapatid, pag-usapan po ninyo ito sa mga kaibigan ninyo. Warn them if you love them. Kasi in the midst of hope, of our hopelessness and helpless state, teka pastor, ayoko i-share to, parang walang super negative naman ata, parang wala naman, may pag-asa. In the midst of our hopeless and helpless state, there is hope. Verse 4 at 5. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Excuse me. Friends, God did not treat us as our sins deserved. He extended grace to us. Grace is God's undeserved favor, mercy, kindness, goodness, extended to all sinners, all types of sinners. God provided a way for us to be saved. Nothing in creation can save man from the coming wrath of God. Voila. So the only way for man to be saved from God's wrath is God himself. God provided this way. At paano ginawa ng Diyos ito, Pastor? By sending His Son. 1 Timothy 1:15. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Ito ang grace ng Panginoon, mga kaibigan. The grace of God appeared in Jesus Christ. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. This is the wonderful news. Mga kaibigan, ito ang dahilan kung bakit natin sineselebrate ang Christmas. It is because God took upon man's nature to die for man and save him. Sabi ni Dr. R.C. Sproul, what we celebrate at Christmas is not much the birth of a baby, but the incarnation of God himself. God, the Son, who existed before time, became a human being in the truest and fullest sense without surrendering his divine nature. He is truly God and truly man. He was born of a virgin, laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. We see this, we know this. Now maybe we are saying, ah, yung pala yun. And the angels worshipped him, singing, glory to God in the highest. Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Isa sa mga Christmas songs na we love singing dito sa Crossroads ay yung galing kay Charles Wesley. And it's called Hark the Herald Angels Sing. We love singing this, and it's translated in Tagalog, and I would like to read a portion ng kanta na ito. Ito ang sinabi. Si Kristo'y Diyos na totoo, at siya ri tunay na tao. Nakisama sa atin si Hesukristong Emmanuel. Angeles nag-awitan, ang Mesyas ay papurihan. But God's redemptive plan does not end here. Sometimes we think about yung Christmas season is December lang. And then we move on to our lives until the next Christmas. Ang madalas ko narinig sa ating mga kababayan dito is this eh. Ay, sana Pasko na, bakit? It's because it allows us to remember nostalgic memories of fun nung tayong mga bata, fun, feasting, friends, gifts. And then, pagtapos ay wala na. I want to inform you correctly kung saan dapat yung joy natin if we remember this. Here at Crossroads, here's the news. Every Sunday, we preach about Christmas. And we need to hear that message every day. It didn't end there. It didn't stop being a baby. Jesus grew up and developed as a man. With all of man's limitations, he got hungry, he got tired, thirsty, weary. He could feel pain, plus the full range of human emotions. Naramdaman niya yan. He was also tempted, katulad natin, pero hindi siya nagkasala. He healed the sick, cast out demons, fed thousands of people, and performed signs and wonders, proving that he was the much-awaited Son of God, the Messiah. Jesus lived in perfect obedience to God the Father. But isang gabi, one night, Jesus was betrayed, not just by anyone. He was betrayed by a friend's kiss. He was unjustly judged by wicked men. He was whipped, nilatigo. He was slapped, beaten, mocked, crowned him with thorns, and nailed him on a tree. On that tree, friends, he bore in his body the sins ng mga malumangalon niya. He bore the sins ng mga sumasamba sa Diyos-Diyosan. He bore the sins ng mga sinungaling, ng mga magnanakaw, ng mga mamatay tao, mga prostitutes, mga sexual immoral, mga sexually immoral, mga hypocrites, mga self-righteous people. Nailed on the cross, bore in his body, are your sins and mine. So, kung hindi mo mapatawad ang sarili mo, kung ikaw ay minumulto ng mga nagawa mong kasalanan sa nakaraan, look to the cross. May kapatawaran. God the Father judged the Son in our place. He died on that tree, and the proof of death is burial. He really died. And on the third day, here's the great news. The triune God raised Jesus from the grave, defeating the unholy Trinity, death, sin, Satan. And those who repent from their sins, put their trust in Christ's finished work on the cross, shall be saved and forgiven. From his crowning glory in heaven, he was sent to the cradle. And from the cradle, he marched towards the cross for the redemption of his people. And from the grave, he was resurrected, ascended, and was crowned with glory, honor, and authority. That in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And here's the exciting news. This same Savior will be back for His people. And this is something na kailangan ma-excite tayo. Babalik ang Panginoon. Babalik siya for us. Now, for all of us, for some of us, ang pagbalik ng Panginoon, truthfully, is it should not be celebrated kung wala ka pang relasyon sa Panginoon. It should be dreaded. Because when the Son of God comes and you do not have that relationship with His Son, you will be eternally judged. Friends, you are here because of grace. A friend, kamag-anak, kaibigan, kaibigan, ay inimbita ho kayo dito because they love you. Hindi man nakikita sa kanilang mga mukha pag magkasama kayo, kaya kanila inimbita rito dahil mahal nila kayo. Because they want you to hear this difficult yet glorious message that can save your soul. The best gift. So you can come out and dalawang klaseng taong lalabas sa pintuan na yan. Mamaya. One, receive the salvation of Jesus Christ. Or second, reject the salvation of Christ. He was born to die so that we might live eternally. I urge you, friends, to repent from your sins. Place your faith in Christ's finished work on the cross for salvation. Pero bakit? Bakit ginawa ni Kristo ito? Ang nakita sa atin ng Panginoon, meron ba nakita ang Panginoon sa akin ang kinakagandahan, ang kinakabutihan? Kaya niya tayo niligtas? Yung ba yan ang dahilan? Well, obviously po, ang sagot dyan ay wala siyang nakitang mga bagay na pwede natin gawin na tama sa harapan niya. Dahil sabi sa verse 5, 8, and 9, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. Verse 8 at saka 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Wala po tayong naiambag sa Diyos para tayo maligtas. Christ's work on the cross ay sapat na para tayo ay maligtas. Kaya po salvation is by grace alone, in faith alone, in Christ alone. Grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. It is also known as sola gratia, sola fide, solus Christus. Pati ang faith we exercise, ito, wala tayo mapagmamalaki. Pati yung faith mo to believe in Christ for salvation is a gift from God. Repenting from sin is a gift from God. Ang salvation, new life in Christ, union with Christ, the faith of all of these are free gifts na galing sa Panginoon, undeserved, unearned. Kaya wala tayong kayang ipagmalaki sa harap ng Diyos na tayo'y naging Christian sa sarili nating effort. It's all God. Wala po tayong kailangan ipagmalaki. And why is salvation all for God? All of God? Why is salvation exclusively in Christ alone? Ito po ang dahilan. Bakit ang Diyos kailangan lang ang magligtas? So that God can get the glory. Back to verse 7. So that in the coming ages, He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God always shows His glory in creation and His new creation. Ang buong universe ay isang gigantic display of His glory from heaven above, and He also displays His glory sa church below. Sabi ni Mark Dever, the church is a display of God's glory to the world. Crossroads, kung totoo na tayo ay mga recipients of God's saving grace, mercy, transforming grace, then we should be a community that is marked by kindness, patience, joy, reverence, awe, self-sacrifice, and service. Kung sinasabi mo na ikaw ay niligtas ng Panginoon. Verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. To conclude our time ngayong umaga, mahalaga na maunawaan natin na we are not saved by good works, but for good works. Ang good works natin is not the ground for salvation. It is the purpose why tayo niligtas. Crossroads Church, we are to display the manifold wisdom of God as we love and care for one another. I-display po natin yan sa pag-aaruga at pagmamahala natin. As we show our love and concern for others na mga hindi mananampalataya. As we proclaim the gospel of Christ, no matter what the cost. As we live in this manner, we display God's character to our communities so that Christ would look glorious. And in our life, sasabihin natin, it's not about us. It's all about God. Salvation is a gift from God and cannot be earned through our good works so that God gets the glory. Let us pray. Father, we are thankful that we are no longer objects of Your wrath, but now objects of Your mercy, not because of what we have done, but because of what Your Son has done on the cross. May this be true sa mga nakarinig at nag-respond ng gospel ngayong umaga. Oh Lord, we pray for that. I pray sa mga hindi mananampalataya rito. I pray that You have saved them by trusting You. May we as a church continue to emulate Christ's love, patience, and self-service so that Your glory would be displayed sa crossroads. Finally, Lord, we pray that You would give us joy as we give financially sa kaloob ngayong umaga. As we give to our offering this morning, it is an expression of our gratitude and worship toward You and what toward who you are and what you have done. I pray, Panginoon, sa mga malilikom na salapi, would you prepare the hearts of those who are going to give, that they would give from a heart that is worshipful and grateful. At gamitin niyo yung mga malilikom na salapi, Panginoon, upang sa ikalalago ng inyong gawain dito sa Crossroads, to reach the gospel, people for the gospel in Dubai and beyond. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.